Joe Satriani is going to join us in a matter of moments. His new album, What Happens Next, is out right now, so you can get it, and he joins us. He is one of the best guitarists on the planet.
Oh, love Joe.
Joe, what's going on, dude?
Morning.
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon from Oslo.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oslo.
Nice. Well, it's morning here. Hey, talk about this album just from reading the press release on it. You wanted to do a rock and roll album, huh?
I certainly did, yeah. I wanted to, move away from science fiction and all the weird narratives that were part of the last record and the last tour and the documentary Beyond the Supernova, all that stuff. So I thought, I just want to go back to, like, what it was like to be 14 years old and just wanted to rock. So, of course, I had to call Chad and Glenn. I knew that they would totally get it, and they would push me to that wonderful place where we could just turn it up and have fun.
Hey, you know what was weird? And are you going to do anything with Chickenfoot? Are you guys going to do anything else?
I keep trying. I'm like the guy that keeps knocking on the door saying, come on, Sam, let's do it. So, but I'm not thinking that it's going to happen now. I mean, I know Chad and I really wanted to get Sammy to do it, but I have a feeling like right now as we're talking, Sammy's recording his other band. Like, I think he's in the studio like right this second with
yeah,
the Circle.
Sammy's pretty busy.
Yeah, were you amazed? Because I put that in, and you had so many great artists in that band. I mean, all of you guys are like when everybody dies, the rock and roll band in heaven of all stars. But I put that CD in the first time as a listener. I said, holy crap, this is fantastic. Did you think the same thing when you were making that?
I did. I just thought the chemistry was so spectacular. It was so unique. And the reason why it worked for me was that nobody really sounded like the gig that they were coming from. Like, it didn't sound like Sammy was just singing over Joe's record or I was playing on a Chili Peppers record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And certainly Chad and I weren't trying to, like, catch up with Van Halen or something like that. But that kind of, like, was what we were staring at when we looked at each other. It's like, wow, you're from the Chili Peppers and you're from Van Halen. And, you know, but when we got together and played that first record, like you said, it was something else. It was the fifth element, which was Chickenfoot. And I thought, well, that's the way to do it. You know, you don't try to, jump on the coattails of the other bands. You just try to do something totally new and fresh.
Joe Satriani, new album, What Happens Next, came out in January, along with Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers and Glenn Hughes. Now, were Glenn and you in Deep Purple at the same time back in the day?
No, I wish we were. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got a call, a desperate call, in December of 93, the day after Ritchie Blackmore walked off stage in the middle of a Deep Purple show in, I think, Dusseldorf or Stuttgart or something like that. And they were due to be in Japan to start a Japanese tour a week later. So they didn't want to cancel for the Japanese fans. And so the Japanese promoter called me, Mr. Udo, who I'd known because he had brought us over there when I was playing with Mick Jagger and a couple of solo tours.
Right.
And so he begged me, like, would you do this? And I said, well, you know, first of all, you can't replace Ritchie Blackmore. But second of all, you know, I thought, the chance of a lifetime. I love these guys. I love the band. I know the audience is going to give me a whole bunch of hell, but because I'm not Ritchie Blackmore. But, but I thought, I got to do it. I just got to do it. And I'm happy that I did, because the band was great. They were a good bunch of guys, and it was an experience of a lifetime to, you know, play Smoke on the Water at the Tokyo, what were we playing at, Budokan. I mean, it was just legendary, you know.
Wow.
And then we did 2 months in Europe later in the summer of 94. And just magical times for me, you know, with Ian Gillan, Ian Paice, John Lord, Roger Glover. I mean, wow, that was something.
What a dream
come
true.
How long did it take you to master Deep Purple? Because, Christy, who are we talking to from Night Ranger, the guitarist who filled in for Randy Rhoads after with Ozzy?
Is it Brad Gillis?
Brad Gillis,
yeah,
yes. Brad. And Brad Gillis told us that the first concert, he was playing stuff out of the guitar solo. He was playing it early and so on, and then Sharon yelled at him. How long did it take you, Joe, to master Deep Purple?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, you know, kudos to Brad, because it's impossible to replace these guys, you know, and Randy Rhoads was just a legendary player, and Brad is an amazing guitar player. It's not like he couldn't do it, but you can't replace a person, really, you know, not someone like Randy. And it was the same with Ritchie Blackmore. I memorized the parts that he played because I loved them, because I was a fan. But every time I'd play something, the guys in the band would say, you know, you can do it whatever you want, you know. So they encouraged me to stretch. But to tell you the truth, I always felt like Ritchie was on my shoulder and, you know, wagging his finger at me like, don't go too far.
Don't try to make it your own all the way.
Joe Satriani's with us, and What Happens Next is the new album. Have you ever thought of this? Because your albums are so good and people use it in so many different things, commercials.
I think we still owe you royalties as much as we played Sash Boogie.
Yeah, I mean, so many people. But have you ever thought of doing something like other guitarists do, like Ted Nugent and other guys, where they have a lead singer? You've never done any of that. Have you ever thought of doing that?
You know, it's come up, and I, in a funny way, I think that Chicken Foot happened more naturally, where, you know, a bunch of guys get together just to have fun and at a Vegas show like we did, and because it was good, we put a band together. I think that's truthful and organic, something that really had legs. But early on in my career, I remember Epic Records first approached me and gave me a separate record deal to develop a band with a singer, but to tell you the truth, it felt kind of like it was spooked or something. Like it was something
bad mojo.
It was coming from the industry. It wasn't coming from me or my fans. And I kept thinking, you know, I shouldn't screw this up. I should just do what feels natural. And if the singer, you know, doesn't just walk into my life somehow, then I shouldn't go out and try to recruit them, you know, like I'm looking for a teammate or something, you know, out of many or something like that. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to actually to working with Glenn Hughes a little bit in the next couple of months. When in between the tours, we're going to get together and write some songs, and we're going to see if there's a future ahead, you know, with the two of us. And that could our camaraderie is definitely organic and natural. We get along in the studio. We have a lot of the same influences. We both want to rock and make some great music. So I'm hoping there's a future there.
Let's talk about the tour, the What Happens Next tour. How's it going, and has it started, and when can we see you here in Columbus?
You know what we did is we started this touring season with G3s, which we hadn't done in quite a long time. So we had John Petrucci and Phil Collin from Def Leppard out with us for 2 months across North America, and then had about 2 weeks off, I guess, and then just jumped over here to Europe. We've been out here for a week. We've got about 6 or 7 weeks to go, and I've got John Petrucci again, along with the Scorpions' original guitar player, Uli John Roth, and we're just having a blast. We're playing about half of the record, the new record, live, and we're mixing up with fan favorites, and then, of course, the jam at the end of the night is always legendary.
That's awesome.
Well, Joe, thanks for coming on. Continued success, and you're probably the only guy in rock who had the best rock and roll long hair, and you could pull off the bald head, too.
You could do both.
I had no choice.
Yeah, but some guys in rock try to hold it a little too long. You know that.
But, yeah, I know. Yeah, that wasn't for me.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on, Joe.
Thank you.